Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Oh. All right. Well, I hope you all enjoyed the praise and worship part of the service. Amen. All right. Let's get into the message. Yeah. I got a good message for you today. It's how to love as God loves. Yeah. We as people find it hard to do that. To love as God loves. Okay. So one of America's most popular TV shows ever for the last few years is American Idol. Last year, a show that featured a young lady named Anjisha Huntley. Anjisha, a heavyset woman, and Simon Hammond, a sarcastic remark about singing here and questioning, do we have a bigger stage this year? When she entered the room to learn the judge's verdict of whether she would go on the next round or be cut, Anjisha looked right at Simon and addressed him. She said, Simon, a lot of people want me to say a lot of things to you, but this is what I want to say. Yes, you hurt me, and I cried, and it was painful. It really was. But I want you to know that I have forgiven you and that you don't need someone to apologize in order to forgive somebody. And I figured that if Jesus could die so that all my wrongs could be forgiven, I'd certainly extend the same grace to you. I just wanted you to know that. And Randy said, amen. Simon apologized and hugged his senior, and Medina Garcia had been selected to advance into the next round. So somewhere, maybe from a parent, son, school teacher, a friend, pastor, Mandisa has heard what Jesus Christ has to say about what true love is all about. Our world needs more Mandisa who practices such a Christ-like love in the midst of a persecuting world. To love as God loves you, must allow Jesus Christ to do three awesome works in your life. First, Jesus Christ must transform your traditions. Second, Jesus Christ must widen your witness. And third, Jesus Christ must perfect your purpose. So if you're the love God loves you, you must allow Jesus Christ to transform your tradition. In today's text, Jesus is dealing with people who have a hard time letting the Word of God be the number one source of authority for life, especially in the area of how to treat people who are unlike them. The problem could be summed up this way. They were changing the Word of God to line up with their desires instead of letting the Word of God change them towards God's desires. Look right here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard it that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus is referring here to the teaching of the Pharisees and the scribes. Their teaching was not in line with the Word of God. So what were they doing? They were subtracting from the Word of God, and they were adding to the Word of God. The law of God states in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, you should not take vengeance, not bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. They omitted from their teachings two words, as yourself. The Pharisees did not want to love everyone as Jesus Christ commanded. They only wanted to love their own community, their own nation, their own people. For them to love common, ordinary people unlike them, this was out of question. Their teaching only said love thy neighbor, but they were not teaching love thy neighbor as yourself. I think about a poem by an unknown poet. Believe as I believe, no more nor less, that I am right and no one else confess. Those that I feel and think only as I think, eat what I eat and drink what I drink. Look as I do, then and only then will I fellowship with you. Not only were they omitting from the Word of God, they were adding to the Word of God. They added to the Word of God and hate your enemies. There is nowhere in the Word of God where it says love your neighbor and hate your enemy. To the contrary, God's law commands us to actively love your neighbor. Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 to 22. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. or so uses will help close the fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. What were the Pharisees doing? They were simply adding to the Word of God so they could be comfortable rather than submitting to the Word of God, so they could be conformed to God's character. God has commanded you, and I as followers and as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to love everyone. We cannot pick and choose whom we love. For instance, if a poor man came into church today, he stunk, he had bathed for days, his hair wasn't combed in his right beside him, and was a man who dressed in an Italian suit, he drove a Lexus to church, no one in the church paid attention to the poor man, but gave all of attention to the rich man. We say to the rich man, here's the best seat in the house, here's the bulletin, here's your Sunday school class, here's a hot cup of coffee, but the poor man no more greeted him, no one welcomed him, no one bothered to invite him to Sunday school class. And do you know what that would mean to our church? It would mean that we were doing exactly what the Pharisees were doing. They loved those they wanted to love instead of loving everyone like God said. As a follower of Christ, Christians need to remember our Commander-in-Chief, Lord Jesus Christ, has issued to us the royal law according to the Scripture. God is the supreme king and his law is unchangeable. The royal law is this, Romans chapter 13, verse 8, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. So I am to love people because God loves me, regardless of who they are, how they act, what they believe, I am to love people. Why? Why do I need to obey God's commands and love others? First, because he is God, he is Lord. I don't tell him what to do, he tells me what to do. Second, because when I was unlovable, when I was dead in sin, God reached out and loved me through Jesus Christ. I do not brag on my love for God. I brag on his love for me. When the Word of God tells me, while I'm utterly hopeless through the blood of Jesus Christ, he made me a friend of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, for since we were restored into friendship with God by death of the Son, while we were still enemies, we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by his life. For now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends of God. So when I think of what Jesus Christ has done for me, I can rejoice in knowing that his love for me is unconditional. And I can begin to share that love with others with complete confidence. How do you love God? As God loves, God must do three awesome works in your life. Allow Jesus Christ to transform your condition. Allow Jesus Christ to widen your witness. Look at what the Word of God says. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. I know a couple of families outside the church going through some very tough times right now, but both of them have hurt each other greatly. It's very unfortunate. Family one seems bent on doing all they can do to bring another family down. They want revenge. They are angry. They are bitter. Family two has admitted they are wrong. They have repented before the Lord. They have sought forgiveness from the Lord and from the family. Now, family two is praying the Lord. We love them. We bless them. We pray for the family and all for our salvation, joy, and peace. I do not know what happens with these families. Sin causes great damage, but I do see that family two is trying to obey what the Word of God teaches. They are allowing Jesus Christ to widen their witness. One of our greatest witnesses for Jesus Christ is not always with our lips or with our confidence in Christ or joy in the Lord as we endure difficult times and difficult people. Jesus said, blessed are those who revile and persecute you, and they say all kinds of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad for the great and your reward is in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who moved before you. Notice Jesus did not say, get all depressed and ticked off when people get upset with you, cry and pout and about it and give up, have a pity party. Understand the way the world says to love and the way Jesus teaches us to love is vastly different. The world says, love those who are like you. Love your friends and love those who are like you. Love those who bless you. The world standard for love is love those who love you. The God standard of love is love those who hate you. The story of General Washington and the dreadful winter at Valley Forge, while General George Washington's army was freezing, the British sat snugly in their warm barracks, in Philadelphia during the Battle of American Bread and Beef. Morale in the Continental Army was low, and Washington himself was filled with an overwhelming sense of helplessness. In the course of that season, a man walked 50 miles through the bitter cold to beg General Washington to spare the life of a soldier who had been sentenced for neglect of duty. I'm very sorry, said Washington, but I cannot grant your request for your friend's pardon. He's not my friend, the man replied. I suppose that there is not another man alive that hates me to the extent that your prisoner does. Washington looked very surprised and said, surely you're not pleading for someone who hates you. Yes, said the man, because I know him to be completely innocent of the charge. Then said the general, I shall grant the pardon. So God, your heavenly Father, is calling you to a higher standard of love and over the love of the world. As a Christian, Jesus Christ did not promise everything would like you and love you. In fact, Jesus said in John 15:19, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. As a young person, if you stand up for the word of God about your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, about drugs and alcohol, about purity, saying sex outside of marriage is wrong, people are going to talk about you. Your choice as a follower of Jesus Christ is to choose your response of love. You can't choose how people will respond to you, but you can choose those to walk in love and obedience to God. The Bible teaches four kinds of love. Eros, love. It is the kind of love that arises from passion and infatuation and sexual attraction. Storge, okay, love is the natural effects of kind of love. It's like between a parent and a child. It's the love family needs for one another. Filial love is the only brotherly love in the Bible. It's that deep friendship kind of love. And agape love is the kind of love that gives, cares, sacrifices, works for another person's good, no matter the kind of response that we see. This agape love is how we are commanded by Jesus to love. So how do you love God loves? You transform your traditions, line up with God's truth, you widen your witness, you begin to love with God's kind of love. You remember what Moses told the people of God in Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19 and 20? Moses said, I've said before you, life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. That you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him for his life, and the length of your days. This evening, let's pretend I'm Moses. I'm standing before the people of God, and I'm telling you, every day you have a choice for life or death. When you choose God's way, you're choosing life. Man's way is the way of death. Man's love is often selfish in nature. He loves those who love him, and he greets those who greet him. Yet God's love is different. God's love is selfless in nature. Jesus illustrates this by saying, our Father in heaven, make his sun rise on the evil and the good, and send rain on the just and the unjust. Think of the sun. Without the sun, we would be in total darkness. Nothing would grow. Everything would be frozen. Without the warmth of the sun, if it were not for the sun, there would be no life on earth. What about the rain? Farmers could have no crops without the rain. There would be no beauty to the earth without the rain. So everything would dry up, lifeless without the rain. With a shadow of a doubt, God is good. He gives the sun, he gives the rain. He gives us food and gladness. He provides for his creation, even those who do not acknowledge his lordship. What if God said to you, I will give some sun, I will give you some rain, but you must worship me first. You must bring a generous offering to me first. You must come to church every Sunday first. I bet we see a great attendance in church. The fact is, God shows his love to those who love him and those who reject him, to those who are his enemies. And when Jesus is saying, love your enemies, do good to them, bless them, pray for them, he's inviting you and I to true life of discipleship, loving and living on a whole new level. So how do you love God as God loves you? You must love the Lord Jesus Christ too. Okay, transform your tradition. Get in line with the word of God. Widen your witness. Move beyond just loving those who love you. And then thirdly, allow Jesus Christ to perfect your purpose. What did Jesus say? Therefore, you shall be perfect as your Father is in heaven is perfect. Honestly, I get a little nervous this week when I read those words. You just be perfect as your Father is in heaven is perfect. I immediately begin to try to think of ways I have been perfect this week. Yet I don't like to think of what all the time. I spent more money than I should have. I got in trouble with the boys when I got out of control. I ate too much junk food over healthy foods. Instead of blessing the driver who jumped in front of me on 316, I wanted to bust them out. Normally, it's the men who have a great deal of road rage. But this week, a lady who looked like she was about 80 years old gave me the finger. And it wasn't the number one strategy either. The list of my imperfections continued to go on and on. I felt very worthless and helpless when I tried to find a perfection in myself. But that will never happen. But then I found the word perfect in Greek, in teleos. It means to have as your aim, to have as your goal, to become mature, to grow up. God's will for your life is spiritual maturity. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says the goal of the Christ-like church is that we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How awesome would it be to each member of a colonial woods and Baptist church if your top goal was to be more like Jesus Christ, to be more sure in their faith, to grow deeper in service of Christ and one another? One thing is for sure, it would bring delight to the heart of your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father is saying, you son or daughter, you should never aim for imperfection. Be your aim should be perfection to become like me. Are you glad that this evening you know to worship a perfect Heavenly Father? Because He is perfect. He loves you and I with a perfect love even when we fall. When we come to know the kind of love God has for us, it makes us aim to have our goals and become like Him. The day after Christmas, Mr. Green parks his car to pick up the morning paper. He noticed a dirty, poorly dressed boy looking at his car. Seeing the boy eyeing the car, he reminded himself to be quick on might be missing a hubcap when he returned. He came out of the store, and just as he opened the door to the car, the boy asked, "Mister, how much would a new car like that cost?" Mr. Green responded, "I really don't know, my brother. He gave me this car as a gift." The ragged little boy looked unbelievably at the car with a look of wonder in his eyes and said something unexpected. He didn't say what you might think. "Gee, I wish I had a brother like that." He said, "Gee, I wish I could be a brother like that." That is what Jesus meant by being the perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Our call as followers of Christ is to be people who show the world the nature of God we serve. Amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed that sermon. And now it's time for the invitation. You know, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, you can get a chance to in just a minute. But let me ask you, are you tired of traveling down this long, dusty road and never knowing which way is up or down and which way to go? Or maybe you lack purpose in life and you need some. Or maybe you suffer from depression, anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from something much worse, such as an addiction to alcohol, drugs, pornography, gambling, overeating. Whatever the problem may be, you see, the Lord can take it away. But in order for Him to do so, He must know you. If He doesn't know you, He can't do nothing for you. So the question is, this evening, do you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior? If you do, simply say this prayer. Say, "Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I am a sinner, and I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So I want to say thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. So please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight." And we Jesus, in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I hope that you all enjoyed the sermon. Amen. We got a lot of callers. Okay, well, let's see. right. Well, we have another caller here from 480. Let's take that. 480. Okay. Enough of that. All right. He waited long just to do that. That's crazy. Okay. Well, anyway, let's get into the prophetic word for the day. The Father says today, set your affection on things above. You are more than a creature derived from the dust realm. The dust realm is where the serpent finds its food. There is nothing for you, no such sustenance for your soul to be found in the dust realm, says God. I have given you this day of a hidden manna that is only found in my glory. Set aside the dry husk of swine's flesh, food that only satisfies momentarily, and then burdens you down in guilt and sorrow. You are more than flesh and blood. I became flesh and blood so that you could become a creature of spirit of life. Receive my life this day. Drink of my life that is liberally poured out to you this day, says God. Michael the Great Prince is standing up among my people in this day. Do all the world stand against you. I send angel warriors, angel reapers in your life to litigate your defense and to militate in your favor. Rejoice, says God, for out of the Lamb's book of life your name has been declared, and because of that change is at hand. Embrace the change that I am bringing, says God. Accept that you are an eternal being living out an infinite existence to be an example of grace and life, and overcome by my strength every obstacle that comes against you. As I am from above, so are you from above, because I have received you to myself. You are not merely human, you are a new creation, because in the cross I brought a conclusion, a terminus to the and grace by the new birth. I have brought you to myself and raised you up as God's man and God's woman in earth. Embrace this and demonstrate it in every thought, word, and action as you go about your day-to-day, says your Father. Amen. And this word goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen. Okay, we got another caller here. 111. Okay. 111.
Good evening, Pastor Ken. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? I can barely hear you.
Oh, sorry about that. I'll speak up a little bit.
I just had a couple of questions. Number one, I heard that Tony F. and Doug do things in the chit-chat room on the video chat. Have you caught Tony F. Jerking it with Doug?
No, that doesn't happen. Sorry. Goodbye. Okay. 111. All right. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight. Okay, may God bless you all, okay, and keep you strong for the week ahead. Amen.